Thank you. Be seated. The court is ready to hear argument in the final cause, H.L. Farm Corporation versus Jackie Self.
May it please the court, Mr. Harold McKeever and Mr. Walter McCool will present argument for petitioner. Mr. McKeever will open. Petitioners have reserved 3 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court, H.L. Farm Corporation has brought this lawsuit to challenge the constitutionality and the validity of Section 23.563 of the Texas Tax Code, which denies H.L. Farm Corporation open space land classification, which in turn denies H.L. Farm Corporation certain tax benefits under the Texas Tax Code. Section 23.563 of the Texas Tax Code denies H.L. Farm Corporation eligibility for open space land classification because H.L. Farm is required by federal law to register its ownership of land and because H.L. Farm is owned by a non-resident alien.
Counsel, at this point, who does own the corporation?
The corporation, H.L. Farm Corporation, is a Virginia corporation authorized to do business in Texas. It is owned wholly by Liber America Incorporated, which is also a Virginia corporation. Liber America Incorporated is owned by Liber International AG, which is a Switzerland corporation, which is not a citizen nor a resident of the United States.
Keep going. I'm still waiting to hear who owns it.
Liber America Incorporated owns H.L. Farm Corporation.
Who owns Liber America?
Liber America, Liber International AG.
Okay, and who owns Liber International AG?
The individual stockholders of Liber International AG are all non-resident aliens.
And where are they residents of?
Switzerland.
What standard of scrutiny should this court apply in deciding whether or not this is a classification which our legislature can constitutionally make?
It is our contention, as set forth in our brief, that it is the rational basis test that should be applied when determining whether there is equal protection under the law as it applies to H.L. Farm Corporation. The federal equal protection test is whether the legislation has a legitimate purpose and whether it was reasonable for that legislation to believe, or for that legislature to believe that the use of the classification would promote that purpose. It is H.L. Farm's contention that Section 23.563 does not have a legitimate purpose. The whole basis of the respondent's argument and the Dallas Court of Appeals, along with the Eastland Court of Appeals in Alexander Ranch versus the Central Appraisal District of Erath County, is that the whole purpose behind passage of Section 1B1 of Article 8 of the Texas Constitution, which allows a tax incentive or benefit to be given to farm owners, is the preservation of the family farm. In looking at Section 1B1, the specific language, the plain and unambiguous language, is that Section 1D1 is to promote the preservation of open space land.
Why? Why do we want to preserve open space land? There's got to be a reason for it.
The reason, the underlying reason, is that the drafters of the Constitution felt that Texas is becoming over-urbanized. They want to somehow provide tax incentives to farmers to continue the use of the land in agricultural production and stop the urbanization, stop the cities from taking over the farmland because farmland is it's been said it's the backbone of America. Farming is the backbone of America. In order to preserve that, they felt the need to give tax incentives to farmers.
Protect the family farmers.
One of the purposes, or one of the effects of the decline of the farming industry is the effect it has on a family farmer, losing their means of support, etc. Those same exact problems exist for any farmland, whether it's alien-owned, whether it's owned by a New York corporation, which is owned by New Yorkers that are just down here farming land, whether it is a family farm. Every farm is risky and has...
Are you saying that a family farm is on the same competitive basis with a large corporate industrial farm?
The farm can only produce so many crops. If a family farmer is given this tax benefit so it can keep in business, that same benefit should be given to a corporation because a corporation can only grow so many crops on the same piece of land, can only make so much money on that same piece of land. So their profits should be somewhat equivalent. Although if the corporate owned land is put into bankruptcy or the owner decides to urbanize or develop that land, then that also puts Texas citizens out of work. It has an effect on the Texas economy in the area where the land was farmed, and it has the same effect as if it were a family-owned farm.
Under your equal protection analysis, can the legislature draw a line between corporations and non-corporate farmers?
The equal protection clause, as long as it is a reasonable basis or a legitimate purpose, probably could draw that line. However, there is no legitimate purpose in light of Section 1D1 of the Texas Constitution. The Texas legislature has seen fit to just provide an arbitrary classification of land that is owned either directly or indirectly, or actually indirectly by non-resident aliens, when it hasn't drawn that same distinction between a New York corporation owned by New Yorkers who may come down and invest in Texas farmland with the site to selling that land for development or commercialization.
Right. I'm familiar with the distinction, but really my question is, would it, under your equal protection analysis, be possible for the legislature to, or the people through the Constitution, to prohibit all corporate farming, to prohibit it in terms of getting this tax benefit?
Through the Constitution,
you have a federal equal protection challenge to this as well, don't you?
Yes, Your Honor.
And under the analysis that you've applied, can a distinction be drawn between corporate and non-corporate farmers?
If there is a legitimate purpose.
Counsel, do you recognize that the federal government in passing agricultural laws has many times favored the family farm as opposed to the corporate farm by, for instance, limiting the number of acres that a person who owns a farm can receive subsidization for?
I was not aware of the distinctions between corporate or family farms. I am aware that Section 1D1 does not make that distinction. Section 1D1 applies to all farmland, regardless of ownership. And it's our contention that Section 23.563 that tries to make that distinction is in contravenes Section 1D1 of the Texas Constitution. But the Texas Constitution itself provides the parameters from which the legislature may act. The legislature may only act in furtherance of Section 1D1, and the purpose of 1D1 is to promote the preservation of open space land, period.
If you're wrong about that, if the sole or the principal reason for the Constitution is to protect the family farm, do you lose?
I would say yes. However, it is clear from the case law, the Bragg versus Cayuga Independent School District, and from the respondent's own brief that has attached to it a congressional report, that the whole underlying purpose of passage of Section 1D1 and passage of Section 1D, which was the predecessor to 1D1, was to prevent urbanization of land. to encourage that land be continued in farming production.
Well, how does barring foreign corporations, if that's what we had here, although actually we have a Virginia corporation, but how does a law that prohibits foreign-owned corporations from availing themselves of this benefit, but does not prevent a New Mexico corporation owned by a New Mexican, or Oklahoma corporation owned by Oklahomans, or any other such entity, how does that fit into your equal protection act?
The whole argument is that there is no rational basis for that distinction being made. The legislature has carved out an exception just for lands owned by non-resident aliens, when it has not done the same for foreign corporations that are within the United States. And maybe I'm not following the question, but it's our contention that they have not made that distinction, necessary distinction, and that demonstrates there is not a legitimate purpose for this legislation.
Council, the majority opinion in the CA lists the legislative history of the Agricultural Foreign Investment Disclosure Act of 1978, which points out a number of very serious concerns about foreign investment in our foreign land, does it not?
Yes.
Do you disagree with any of the items listed and any of those concerns?
I certainly would agree with Chief Justice Enoch in his defense in the Court of Appeals that market factors affect prices. There are, while in some situations, some of those factors may be valid, for example, conservation of land. In situations such as HL Farm Corporation that has farmed this land for more than 10 years, that those factors just are not applicable. HL Farm has farmed the land and continues to farm the land.
They don't have the same interest in conservation that a resident owner would have, do they?
HL Farm wants to preserve its land to continue to farm, so it would have the same interest.
Farm income leaves the country. That's one of the major concerns of the Agricultural Foreign Investment Disclosure Act. So the profits here would leave the country.
If there were any profits, eventually they may leave the country. HL Farm does not make a profit. It sends any proceeds it has to Virginia, which then go up to Liber America Incorporated, which is also a United States citizen and domestic corporation. And then if there are any profits, they may go back to Switzerland if they are not funneled back into the farm. But HL Farm does not make any profits.
Are you saying that Switzerland is the home base, that after Switzerland it's not funded someplace else?
Not to my knowledge. With the court's permission, I will yield now to Mr. McCool.
Court. I'm here representing an amicus party who is involved in a similar lawsuit that has been pending in Hunt County on a similar fact situation. I'd like to go back first and focus on something very basic to the argument that the petitioner here and my client are both making in the court. Property in Texas under the Constitution is taxed based upon its value. And the Constitution permits an exception to that rule in Section 1D of Article 8 of the Constitution. And in that section, an individual farmer whose primary occupation and source of income is farming is entitled to have his property taxed based not upon its value, but upon its agricultural productive capacity. That amendment to the Constitution was added in 1966, I believe, and some 10 years later, the voters enacted Article 8, Section 1D1 of the Constitution, and that section greatly broadens the availability of that special agricultural valuation that is an exception to the rule that property be taxed on its value.
Let me ask you the same thing. If the sole or principal reason for that provision of the Constitution is to protect the family farm, does the petitioner lose?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, because my position is that in addition to the federal equal protection claims that are raised by the petitioner, I submit that the proper standard for review of this statute under the Texas Equal Rights Amendment is by heightened scrutiny, and the court, the state, in supporting the discriminatory statute, has to present evidence that will prove that the discrimination is necessary to further a compelling state interest. And I don't think that's happened in this case. So even if the court were to find that Section 1D1 is intended solely for the preservation of the family farm, the court would still have to consider the equal protection claim under heightened scrutiny. I'd point out that there is no limitation in Section 1D1 to closely held corporations or partnerships or Texas corporations. Section 1D1 throws the availability of agricultural valuation open to open space land that is devoted to farming or ranching. And the Constitution permits the legislature, but first the Constitution requires the legislature to enact that special tax provision to open up agricultural valuation to non-natural persons. And second, the Constitution permits the legislature to draft restrictions in furtherance of the purpose of the section. My time has expired.
Any questions?
You say you filed as an amicus because of the case pending in another county. How many other cases are out there pending in this area, in this subject?
I know of at least 6 other cases that are pending.
At the trial court level still?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
The court is ready to hear argument from respondent.
May it please the court, Mr. Bill Kimbrough will present argument for respondent.
May it please the court, Justice Doggett asked the question, could a constitutional amendment be drafted so that just the individual family farmers could receive the benefit of this agricultural appraisal? And my answer to that is they did. That was what 1D was. It just applied to individuals. And the legislative study group came in and they said, well, our family farmers are not getting the benefit of what we wanted them to have because their family farm may be held by a brother and sister. It may be a family corporation. It may be a legal entity that's not an individual. And so we cut them out when we said it had to be an individual, so we will broaden it. Now, I believe they did make it over broad. I think that they included a lot of people maybe that they did not have to include when they broadened the expansion of this aid for the family farmer.
But what rational reason is there for allowing a Virginia corporation that is owned by Americans to have this tax break and a Virginia corporation that is not to?
Well, there's an old Supreme Court case that points out Terrace versus Thompson, 44 Supreme Court 15, It says that the quality and allegiance of those who own farm lands is of the highest importance to a state, and it affects the safety and power of the state itself. And this was a case that's been criticized because the person that was an alien, they didn't let have his farmland, was a resident who lived in Washington. And they said, if you owe allegiance to the foreign governments, you can't own this land. And it was upheld by the Supreme Court of the United States. But since then, there has been heightened solicitude for resident aliens. But these are non-resident aliens. They don't live in this country. Now, that's a peculiarity of the petitioner's characterization of his corporation. He says it's a corporation that's neither a citizen nor a resident of the United States. Well, it's neither fish nor fowl, therefore it's a non-resident alien. That's not logical. They admit, they stipulate in their statement, in the stipulation, that they are not owned by a non-resident alien.
It wouldn't make any difference, though, that if the stockholders of the original parent corporation that we understand are Swiss citizens, if they were living in Dallas, that wouldn't make any difference.
Yes, it would, because then they would be residents. If they lived in Dallas,
well,
they would be...
They're resident stockholders of a corporation, and this corporation owns, I think there are two corporate links in there. And so, but you say that if the primary stockholders lived in Texas, even though they were lived here as resident agents, that they would be able to claim the exemption?
That is correct, Your Honor, because if the discrimination only applies to non-resident aliens, aliens who live here would be entitled to the same agricultural exemption.
And we're giving the charactership of the owners of the stock. We're characterizing the corporation by the character of the owners.
That is correct, because that is the only way to make a distinction about non-resident aliens that'll work. Because if you just distinguish against individual or governments, then they can form a corporation and escape it entirely. So the statute is written in two parts. One that says that they're not entitled to the benefit if the land is owned by a non-resident alien individual or a foreign government, or if it is indirectly owned by a non-resident alien individual. So I think the federal statute is drawn to make people register whose lands are owned directly or indirectly. It uses the words directly or indirectly.
Under the state statute that we're dealing with here, is a citizen of Mexico who lives in Matamoros and owns farmland in Cameron County entitled to this tax benefit?
Well, the facts that you proposed there, he is a non-resident alien, and so if he wants to have the benefit of the statute, well, he would have to establish some sort of residence or permit to live in Texas.
So it's any non-resident alien, be it corporate or individual?
Well, I don't think such a thing as a corporate non-resident alien is... Well, it doesn't make sense to me.
I guess my question is, without regard to whether he's incorporated or not, any non-resident alien is not entitled to this benefit. Is that true?
That's right. If his only connection with the United States is to own the land and to live in a foreign country and not come over here through some permission to enter this country and come within the jurisdiction of the state of Texas somehow, there must be some reason. He must be a professional criminal or something that keeps him from doing that. And he would be barred, you bet.
Counsel, how do you deal with the Western and Southern Life Insurance case, which was cited by the dissent in the Court of Appeals? It says pretty clearly that the corporations that are authorized to do business in the state they're virtually adopted by the state, they're entitled to the same protection or equal protection with the state's own corporations, at least to the extent that property is entitled to equally favorable ad valorem tax burdens. It acknowledges that there's some authority for a state to exclude foreign corporations from doing business within the boundaries, but that does not include imposition of a more onerous tax burden or other burdens on foreign corporations than those imposed on domestic corporations. It doesn't allude in any way to who owns these foreign corporations. It talks about discrimination being permitted only if there is a legitimate state purpose. And in this particular case, the dissent argued that the legitimate state purpose was preserving agricultural production, farming, and ranching, but it doesn't relate to ownership.
Well, Your Honor, those cases that say a corporation is a person, say they're entitled to the same rights as an individual walking around on the street, which, as far as that classification goes, is true. But the state is entitled to make further classifications, and it can classify corporations as being those who are owned by non-resident aliens and those who are not. And
there's a rational basis for it.
The rational basis for it?
Yeah. What's the rational basis for saying that when it comes to preserving agricultural land, a domestic corporation in Texas, or in the case of this, in this particular case, a foreign corporation from another state that happens to be owned by Americans, is entitled to this treatment, but that a foreign corporation that is owned by non-Americans is not entitled to this consideration, when the goal is not to impose an additional tax burden on foreigners? The goal of the exemption is to preserve agricultural land.
Well, if it's to preserve agricultural land,
that's the legitimate purpose. It's not a legitimate purpose to impose additional burdens on foreigners.
I think the Texas legislature felt that preventing foreigners from owning Texas agricultural land, that non-resident aliens, would benefit the family farmer by reducing their competition, making it possible, making more land available to them, keeping the lands that would be available to them from being occupied and owned by aliens.
Well, what's the difference between a non-resident alien and a citizen of another state? Now, all those reasons apply, don't they, equally well to citizens of other states and non-resident aliens?
Well, there's one thing that I don't think that the Court of Appeals has gave enough attention to, and that is the 14th Amendment says that they're entitled to equal protection, the people within the jurisdiction of the state are entitled to equal protection. Now, it doesn't say that the resident citizens of Switzerland are entitled to equal protection, or the resident citizens of some other country are entitled to equal protection. It says the people that are within the jurisdiction of Texas are entitled to it, and those people are not within the jurisdiction of Texas. So there's no rule of rational basis, intermediate basis, or strict construction, either one.
The question was, how do you deal with the Western and Southern Life case, where the United States Supreme Court specifically said that once you've adopted a corporation, you're entitled to equal protection with your state's own corporations?
Because that's what that classification was based on, was upon whether it was a corporation, not upon whether it was a corporation owned by a non-resident alien as opposed to...
I've lost you somewhere, or you've lost me.
there's a sub-classification, Your Honor. The state can classify corporations for tax purposes. Now, in an unclassified situation, they're persons. But they can be classified.
In other words, without any real rational basis, because it doesn't confine the benefit to Texans or Texas corporations that are owned by Texans or foreign corporations that are owned by Texans. there's to preserve agricultural land. It doesn't, Texas don't get the benefit exclusively. Texas corporations that are owned by Texans don't get the benefits exclusively. Foreign corporations get the benefits as long as they're owned by Americans or by resident aliens. If the foreign corporation happens to be owned by non-Americans, non-resident aliens, then it's divested of the benefit. When the goal of the exemption to begin with, the goal of the classification to begin with, is to preserve agricultural lands, not to discriminate against, not to be xenophobic about our tax policies.
Well, Your Honor, the goal, I think, is to preserve the family farm and to aid and benefit the farm.
It doesn't say anything about family farm. It talks about agricultural use, talks about open lands. Whether it's, most of our family farms are corporate owned. I mean, we don't really have that many anymore compared to the space being used for agricultural purposes.
Well, it's the position of the state that the legislature had a committee to study this question, and that they proposed solutions, and that the problems they were dealing with were the problems of the family farm, and that is why 1D1 was enacted. And that was the purpose of it. Now, to find that it was some other purpose, well, then...
They didn't say anything about family farms in there.
Let me ask you this question, please.
Yes.
If it may be, I understand your argument, it may be that equal protection does not apply in this case for the reasons that you have advanced.
Yes, sir.
If it does.
Yes, sir.
And if it only applies with the reduced scrutiny, rational basis. Assuming that the 13 reasons offered are justification for discriminating, making a distinction between non-resident aliens and everyone else, what is the basis? What is the rational basis? Why the family farms are protected in Texas if non-resident aliens are not given this advantage, but other non-residents are?
Well, I think the statute is over, that the legislation is overbroad, the constitutional amendment is overbroad, but it included more people than it was necessary to help the family farm. The legislature was given the authority to make classifications, and they took out some of the people that they could take out. And they can't take out Oklahoma corporations and including Texas corporations. That violates the United States Constitution. But they can make classification based upon the ownership. And that's the state's position, that the classification based on ownership by non-resident aliens is a valid classification. And that keeps it from being a violation of equal protection.
How far can they go with this, counsel? What you've got is a foreign corporation that's owned, a Virginia corporation that's owned by another Virginia corporation that's owned by a European corporation. The owner of the foreign corporation, the Virginia corporation that owns and operates H&L Farm, is another Virginia corporation, a legal person.
Well, the answer to your question is that I think that their intention was to cause the exemption to be denied to those lands that are owned directly or indirectly. And so they did set up a maze or a quiz as to how indirect it would be. It's just they could set up 50 corporations or one or none. And they still did not want non-resident agents and foreign governments to have the benefit of this. And that's the way the federal statute is patterned, too. They have to register if they're directly or indirectly. And it doesn't say, well, if you can form five corporations while you're home free, I think the purpose is directly or indirectly.
Counsel, the amicus urges that this statute violates the unique Texas Equal Rights Amendment provision. Is that question properly before us, and if it is, how should we decide it?
Well, I think the court can look at it. It's
there's equality in that persons of the same classification are treated alike. And there, a Texas corporation that's owned by Swiss non-resident citizens would be treated the same as a Virginia corporation owned by Swiss non-resident citizens. So it is equal.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. How much time is remaining?
3 minutes.
Mr. Kimbrough just made a comment that that there was a classification under the Equal Rights Amendment that's allowed. There's a classification that is provided by Section 23.563. The classification between lands owned by entities which are owned by non-resident aliens that are required under federal law to register as lands and those that are not. That is a classification that I don't understand the reason of. It shows that's not a legitimate purpose for that classification, that the Equal Rights Amendment is violated for that reason.
Well, am I correct that you've not raised the Equal Rights Amendment before in either this court or the Court of Appeals?
That is correct, that H.L. Farm has not.
It's only raised by the amicus?
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Kimbrough had mentioned a legislative report. Reading from the summary of this report on page 6, it says the Agricultural Land Assessment Study Committee found that continued urbanization has created trends of diminishing agricultural land and a declining agricultural population. By implementing an effective agricultural use law, a state can strengthen agricultural and preserve much-needed open space around the city. That sets forth the policy and the purpose behind the enactment of Section 1B1.
Counsel, it seems to me, I wish I'd had the thought of asking this question when the other side was up. It seems to me that when you have a foreign corporation, a foreign-owned corporation, or non-resident alien-owned corporation that owns agricultural land in Texas and operates it the same as any domestic operator of agricultural or open space land, that pursues or is in compliance with the purpose of the exemption, that it would be contrary and counterproductive to the purpose of the agricultural exemption to put an additional burden on someone who is fulfilling that purpose, be they foreign or domestic, and that it would encourage them to take that land out of agricultural production and make another, perhaps more valuable economic use of it, which is why we have the agricultural classification to begin with, rather than taxing it based on its value for other purposes. We tax it on its capacity for agricultural production. And you do not encourage continued agricultural production if you tax it based on its value for other purposes, do you?
Justice Gamage, we agree 100% with that. H.L. Farm Corporation has farms. However, it would probably be much more profitable for it to urbanize or develop or commercialize this land. And in fact, the tax code provisions that would apply to a company such as H.L. Farm provide penalty if a corporation or if farmland is changed away from its agricultural use. They have to repay the tax benefit for the past 5 years plus interest. So if anything, the purpose of this statute or the purpose of the constitutional provision along with the penalties of the statute would help the purpose of keeping that farmland as agricultural use.
Yeah, that's not really a penalty. That's merely a recognition that the land has changed character and has been moved into the development process, isn't it?
Well, I think if they are required to repay a tax benefits for the 5 preceding years, even though that land was used for agricultural use in those 5 preceding years, that it is some sort of a penalty, or they have to repay the taxes if they change the land. Maybe penalty is not the correct word, but they do have to repay those taxes.
It's a tax recovery.
Tax recovery.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. Foregoing causes are submitted on briefs and oral arguments. That concludes the arguments for the day. The marshal will adjourn the court.
The audience, please rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez. The Honorable Supreme Court of Texas now stands adjourned, subject to call.